Welcome, everyone, to the Kathy Lee Parker Show, the number one place for enlightened and entertaining guests, positive vibes, and information that is spot on. And now, for your listening pleasure, your host, Kathy Lee Parker.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we're going to be talking about a really hot topic. It's on foster care. For those of you who are interested, or for those of you who are already in the system doing foster care, would love to have you join in and listen in with us. And today with me, I have Sean and Travis. They work for a company called Rise in Utah. And matter of fact, it's international. It's called Rise Services. It's international, but we're also going to be talking to Sean and Travis, and they're here with me today. And the service of the workforce is here in Utah. So Utah is a big issue when it comes to foster care and parenting and helping these children. So welcome, Travis and Sean, to my show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're great. And first of all, Travis, tell me a little about the company.
Yeah, so Rise is an innovative human service network. It was originally established so our founder, Gerald, saw that a lot of people that had physical, intellectual, and developmental disabilities often were being placed in institutions, and their ability to thrive was really controlled by those institutions. And so he saw that there was a need to try and take people out of those institutions and place them in a more traditional family setting. And so that was his kind of original idea that kind of blossomed into what Rise has become today, where we serve people again.
Okay.
With physical.
Well, Travis, tell me about Rise. What, you know, it's an adoption agency, but what type of children do you take in?
So we provide services for all types of children with physical, disabilities, as well as emotional and developmental disabilities, mm-hmm. as well as kids that maybe have some behavioral issues, often that are involved with like the Division of Child and Family Services, where they've come from kind of a not great upbringing, maybe some experience, some trauma, things like that. And so we are able to try and get them placed into homes that are a better fit for them where they can thrive.
Travis, how long has Rise been, you know, Rise Services been in Utah?
So it was established in 1987, so it's been around for a long time.
1987. You make it sound old and ancient when we're an older person, but 1987 sounds young to me. But so it's been around that long. And how's it doing here in Utah?
It's doing great, obviously, with the kind of state of affairs that, you know, here in the United States with COVID-19, it's impacted us just a little bit, but overall we're still, you know, having children come into our care that we're trying to find placements for, trying to find families willing to help these mm-hmm. children that need a better living situation.
I hope they do get some help. And Sean, how many children are in the system that you have there?
You know, within Rise, it does tend to fluctuate a little bit, but just, you know, when we talk about just the state in general, you know, the data tells us that it's anywhere from 2,700 to 3,000 kids and adults sometimes in need every year, and it's usually about half of that number of actual licensed families. And so, you know, our number goes up and down, but the bottom line is the state need for what we do is tremendous.
And tell me about, you know, Rise. They've been around since 1987, and we take in quite a bit of children with issues. And what are you looking for when it comes to a foster care, Sean? What's the criteria to become a foster parent?
You know, there's quite a few things that we look at initially. So, you know, first and foremost, I get asked a lot if, you know, if I come in as a respite provider or a foster family, do we have to go through a background check? And the answer is yes. So initially it's, you know, yeah, it's background checking. They have to be, go through the same vetting process, regardless if you're a full-time, you know, professional parent or for your respite care. And then there's some things on top of that that we look at. We look at things like stability within a family or a couple. You know, do they have a steady income in place already? How's their house situation? Do they have an extra room that they can dedicate to the child so that we have people participating for the right reasons? They want to give back. They want to open their homes and hearts. And then a lot of things, we have a very extensive process once somebody comes on with us, and we go actually go into the home. We do home visits, do a pretty rigorous examination inside the home to make sure safety standards are there, what needs to be changed as far as keeping the child safe, basic things like, you know, medicine cabinets that are lockable, covers on windows, you know, window wells, things like that. So it's a pretty extensive process.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like any type of adoption, I mean, foster care. Can somebody adopt these children? And how long does it take if they decide to adopt? They fell in love with, you know,
They can.
Like
yeah,
a child.
They can. So, yeah, so, you know, we're talking about, so some differences within the terminology. So anybody listening might, you know, be confused about what we're talking about. So we got, it's kind of in three different things. We got professional parenting, foster parenting, and then respite care providers. Professional parenting is, it's a long-term situation. We have many professional parents within RISE who have been parents with us for 10, 12, 15 years.
Wow.
Some 20. And so they've come on, it's full-time, it's a lifestyle for them, they want to give back that way, and sometimes they have that child for many years. And adoption is certainly possible. Same with, so foster care is a little bit different. Foster care is more short-term, and that can be because of a treatment situation. So there's a thing called treatment foster care, where maybe a child has been pulled from a home, or they've been pulled out of a situation, and now we're talking about a rehabilitation process or a treatment process. A foster family will step in for maybe 6 months, or maybe it's a year, depending on what's going on with the biological family, the legal issues behind it. And so it can be more short-term. And some people like that because they're not ready to commit to, you know, this kind of lifelong thing. They can do it for 6 months, step away for a while, do it for a year, step away for a while. And now respite care is even more short-term, where they're talking about being a substitute foster parent.
Really?
So one of our, you know, if our full-time people, our full-time families need to take time away, they need to leave the child for a day, 2 days, maybe a week. Maybe they need to travel and can't take the child. Maybe it's court dates, whatever that situation may be. One of our licensed respite care providers step in. They take the child for a day or two or whatever. And then when the regular family comes back, then they turn the child back over. And so it's a great way to give relief to a full-time family for whatever reason they may need. And then, you know, foster care and both professional parenting can lead to adoption. It does happen. It just depends on the situation with the child and the biological family and the legal situation behind it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sean, so foster care in RISE, it's about 6 months, maybe 8 months at the most. Because what if you get attached to the child?
Can be 6 months to a year. Yeah.
Oh, 6 months to a year. Gosh, a year, even 6 months. What if you get attached to that child?
It does happen. You know, we have families who have, we have great families, and we have families with really big hearts, you know, and sometimes they can get attached, and that's just kind of human nature. But they also know, typically they know going in that that's what they're signing up for. It could be a short-term situation, but attachment is very real, and it happens, and we work with our families to get through that the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Sean, how many children can you adopt? What's the amount? Can it just be one or two? Can you do more?
So foster care and adoption can be, you know, there can be siblings involved. It could be two, it could be three. A lot of that goes back to what I was saying earlier and what the family can handle. You know, can they? Do they have the space for it? Do they have dedicated rooms?
Yeah, but if you have all that, how many children are you allowed to adopt?
I don't know that there's an actual number. Travis, maybe you know something different, but I don't think, I've never heard of any specific limit. It really just depends on what that family is ready to handle, and do they have the capability to take care of it. You know, sibling foster and sibling adoption is ideal. We always like to keep the siblings together. Maybe it's two kids, maybe it's three kids. If that can happen, then great.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I like that. Because that's really sad if a brother or sister gets split up. We don't want that.
Yeah.
And
that's always ideal to keep kids together for sure.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, tell me a story. Tell me something like, you know, when it comes to, do you have any difficulties or the fun? Tell me something amazing that, you know, a story that a parent, you know, did a foster care and then went into adoption.
You know, I will tell you, one of the first things I did when I first came on board with RISE, I went to a home visit. So just part of my getting to familiar with the environment and the families, I went out to a home visit with one of our placement specialists, and younger couple. My initial thought was, oh, it's, you know, it's going to be retirees, and you know they've got the room and the extra space or the money. And but this particular home visit I went to was this young couple.
Mm-hmm.
They were newly married and weren't quite ready to have a family of their own, but they had some relatives who had been foster parents. And were interested in it, and so we went into did the home visit. They were excited, but they had a lot of reservations. Not sure, are we going to do this? You know, the wife was, you know, and they were on board. You know, a lot of questions, and a lot of reservations, and you know, can we really handle a child that's got, you know, maybe some physical disabilities and things? And we ended up placing a child with them that did have some. A little bit of a disability, medically speaking, and then he took some intensive care. And, you know, I would see them as we were going through the training. They used to come to some of the training classes that I would teach. And just to see the progression, to see how they evolved from being a little bit apprehensive to absolutely being in love with this child and fully engaged and fully involved in his life and making his life better. They'd come into my training class and they'd just be all smiles, and they would bring the child at times, and you know, he'd be kind of running around. It was a great situation, and it was really fun to watch them develop as foster parents and people, and they're giving this kid a really good life and a really good head start on life. And that's really the great thing. That's what we do, and that's why we do it.
Yeah. How much does it cost to become a foster parent? Do we have to pay to get into the system?
No, there's no financial requirement to get involved. In fact, it's the opposite. There's actually compensation to become involved in the either professional parent or foster parent world. There may be costs involved to maybe get a house in order to you know, pass the licensing and things like that, like, you know, bring a home up to code, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take to become a foster parent? So how long does it take? 3 or 4 months? Yeah,
so typically it's about 4 to 6 weeks.
Really?
And some of that depends on the family, or the providers and how fast they want to get through the process. But 4 to 6 weeks is about typical.
And you have to go through the same thing if you want to do part time, right? You have to do the same thing.
And that's a good question, and I get that question quite a bit. You know, I have people come and say, "Hey, I may be interested in doing this respite, but can I just jump in and take the child?" The answer is no. You have to go through the same licensing and background check, the same vetting process because just of the state requirements, but also because we want to provide the safest environment possible for our kids.
Mm-hmm. Travis, how many kids are in the foster care?
So that's a good question. So like Sean kind of alluded to earlier, there's could range from anywhere from 2,700 to 3,000 kids here just in the state of Utah.
In Utah? Wow.
Yeah. So
that is
again, with that number, unfortunately, there's not as many available families and homes for these kids. So a lot of times there's quite a gap. So that's kind of a big reason why Sean and I, you know, wanted to jump on and talk to you today, is just letting people know there's a need out there. Mm-hmm. We really love to see, like Sean alluded to in his story, there's so many families out there that maybe are apprehensive or not sure, and at the end of the day it turns into this great opportunity, and people really get a lot out of being able to provide, you know, a home for these kids that otherwise don't have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Travis, does it take a lot of time to help these children every day? Does it take a lot of time out of their day?
Yes and no. Again, it just depends on kind of the situation the child that's in the system is dealing with. You know, in some cases, we have kids that, you know, are on the one end of the spectrum where they have a lot of disabilities, a lot of care is involved in what they are doing, and so it does require a lot of time. And then in other cases, they may not have a ton of needs, or maybe they're involved in, you know, during the day they're involved in some day program where they go and they get services, they get to interact with other kids, and so there's a break that maybe the foster parents, professional parents get while the kid's away. So it just, again, it depends. It's all done, you know, case by case basis on kind of what the child's needs are and where they're at in the system.
Interesting. Well, we'll sit back and we'll be right back after these messages. We're going to do a commercial break.
Having a brighter, whiter smile is important to you, even during the coronavirus crisis. Teeth whitening can be safe and convenient, because at Pearly Whites, we come to you. Our technicians take all the recommended safety precautions, and you don't have to leave your home. Get all your family treated in one afternoon. It's safe and convenient, and less expensive than a visit to the dentist. Pearly Whites Mobile Teeth Whitening. Visit pearlywhitesfl.com to book an appointment today.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
I'm Sean Nielsen, professional parent recruiter with Rise Services Utah, and we have a unique opportunity to open your heart to children and adults with developmental challenges by becoming a respite foster care provider. Respite care providers are part-time and fill in when our full-time parents need time away from the child in their care. It's a great way to help those in need without committing to a full-time position. If you'd like more information about this wonderful opportunity, please contact me today at 801-676-8926.
Sarah Yoga and Wellness offers online, live, and interactive yoga classes and yoga teacher training certification programs. Sarah has over 20 years of experience and can help you make your spirit, mind, and body a priority in your life. Try a class from the comfort of your own home for just $5. Learn more at sarahyogaandwellness.com or call 801-390-2108.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
Hey, this is Rocktop Construction. Rocktop is a family-owned business based out of Utah. We specialize in replacing worn or storm-damaged roofs and understand how to assist homeowners with property claims. For reliable service and the best value on a quality and energy-efficient roof, call Rocktop Construction at 801-567-1234. We have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Again, that's 801-567-1234 to find out more about how we can protect your home.
This is Chris Jackson, here to protect your lifestyle, legacy, and loved ones, free of charge. Whether you're on a budget, nearing retirement, or a business owner, I have your back to make your financial dreams a reality. Call me today at 435-760-3955 to set up a free consultation to learn more. I am Chris Jackson, your financial advocate and wealth educator. Again, call me at 435-760-3955.
I'm sitting here with Travis and Sean of Rise Services, and welcome you guys back to the show. And Sean, tell me what does legal risk mean in foster care?
Legal risk?
Yeah, like a legal risk. What does that mean? I see that in documents and paperwork. What does legal risk, R-I-S-K, mean in foster care? Is that something
when you sign on to become a foster care provider or a professional parent, you are legally now accepting your role as a care provider for that child.
Right.
And so you are now bound by all the legal the legalese that comes along with that. So you are their legal guardian in that case, and so you're bound to take care of that child within the plan that they have set up by the state, mm-hmm. and through the care team that comes along with them. Not to scare people off, but because it is because you are taking over the life of a child and supporting that child, you're bound to do so within the law and everything that comes with that. And we provide, again, not to frighten people, because RISE, I think, is something that we do exceptionally well. We provide that support to our families to help guide them through that process, because that is a good question. It's a good concern, because it's a valid concern, because I have people ask me that question. Hey, what happens if I take this child and something happens? I get accused of something. I get something in that legal realm that can be detrimental. And and again, it's like Travis was saying, everything is case by case, but we support our families, we help them navigate that process should something happen, but we try to provide enough support up front to mm-hmm. To minimize it, if not eliminate it. Travis, is there anything that you can add to that?
No, I think that's great. I think one thing that the listeners might be interested to know is when we do have parents come on board and we get them through the vetting process, is here at Rise, we're not just placing the next person in line with the next family ready to take a kid. There's quite an extensive process where we really look to find a good fit. And so, we talk to the parents, we talk to, those that are providing care for the child, and really try to look for a good fit to try to minimize, issues that may arise by just randomly placing kids just wherever there's opening.
Okay, you mean the children. And yeah, that's good to know that. And what about race? Is that an issue with you guys or the people trying to adopt or do a foster care too? Sorry, foster care.
No.
Oh, good.
None whatsoever.
Good.
Yeah, we have very diverse families, very diverse clientele. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Wonderful. That's good to hear. And what about babies? Because everybody wants to foster care of a baby. Is that do you have quite a few of those, or is that on a waiting list?
It just depends. It's not a situation where we have kids within Rise sitting around. Some of it depends on the state, what kind of load they have, what kind of flow they have. Mm-hmm. And going back to some of the data that we talked about earlier with the 2,700 kids, 3,000, the infants and the infant to 5-year-old, it's out there. That's typically the easiest age range to place.
Because really?
People want to take that child, they want to develop them, they want to nurture a baby. The reality of the situation is, of those 2,700 that are statewide, almost half of those are 11 to 12-year-old and up.
Oh.
And yet they also represent the lowest percentage of adoptions later because of just the challenges that come with taking on an older child. Uh-huh. If you've ever had teenagers, you know how that goes. It can be daunting. And so that's why, we look for families who can really open their hearts to that possibility.
And you help them with that situation? Help them get comfortable with that child that has, between the age of 12 to 15.
That brings up a good, that brings up a good topic of the training that we provide. The state requires 32 hours of what they call pre-service. Yeah, so their state required 32 hours of pre-service training. They call it pre-service training. And then within RISE, we also have a couple of different types of training. One we also kind of call a pre-service training. It's kind of a pre-placement training, sometimes in conjunction with a placement training where families come in, and it's very behavior-based training. It's modules. They learn how to build on their current knowledge of being a parent or, future and all. Maybe they're not parents, but they want to learn how to handle situations. And it's really effective when we're talking about the older demographic of child, because that is the bigger challenge. And so the training that we provide, both pre-service and while they have a placement, it's really a fantastic way to support our families. We give them this training that helps build skills. It helps them understand how to handle certain situations, how to deal with certain situations, how to respond appropriately in certain situations. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. parents think that, oh, I can just parent this child the same way I parent my own kids, and it, a lot of times it doesn't work out that way. And so that's what the training that we provide is so valuable to our families. One, it gives them a ton of support, but then it mm-hmm. kind of gives them the skills and knowledge to help kind of handle those situations with the 13 or 14-year-old that mm-hmm. they may have not understood, or maybe they've got a child who's got a history of trauma. What do I do? How do I handle that situation? And the training and the support that we provide is great to help them through those situations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a big question, Travis. Since you're new on board with Arise Services, have you decided to adopt a child or do a foster care? Excuse me, I keep saying adopt. Have you decided to do some foster caring?
So my current role in the company...
I know what your role is. Can you take in a child?
Sure. Yeah, anybody could. We've got lots of employees who actually do the professional parenting on top of whatever their other duties are. Like you said, being newer to the company... it's definitely something I've thought about and would be completely open to.
Yeah, I saw a picture of you and you look like, he looked like he would be a fun, you know, take in a boy and, you know, give him some good role models and be a good support for him. But anyway, and also too, Sean, have you done the same thing? Have you taken in a child, a foster child?
I have not yet. I don't, you know, it's something that my wife and I are in discussion with. I don't have an extra room at the moment. As soon as I
one more move out,
then I'll be good to go. But as of right now, I don't have the. Yeah, I'm short on space, but yeah. So it's like Travis was saying. We have a lot of employees who do.
Wonderful.
A lot of employees who have and. And a lot of employees who are talking about it, like myself, as soon as we're able to physically, yeah, we would love to do it because it's such a great way to support a child, to kind of open your home and your heart to a child and give them an opportunity, whether you're talking about foster care or long-term professional parenting, you know, it helps them develop some stability. It helps them... just develop as people and individuals, and it gives them a chance to have a normal life. And that's why it's so important. And it can also be important for biological families who have to give up their kids to foster, because a lot of times, you know, with treatment foster care, it's about getting the child back to and reuniting with the biological family. So it's a good opportunity to help those families and develop a better life situation for everybody involved.
Oh, that's good. That's a wonderful idea. That's so that the foster parent doesn't feel like, oh, you're taking somebody away from me. I'll never see that person again. So, or that child again. Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that idea. And so a lot of employees help out. That's wonderful. That's good to hear. And so when are you going to have your open house to let people come up and meet? You can't do that yet. The coronavirus, dang it!
Yeah, we're still limited.
Stops a lot of things.
Yeah,
do you do any Zooming, like announcing a Zoom meeting or anything like that? Do you have any events coming up?
We talked about doing information sessions via Zoom. It all depends on current interest, and do we have enough people to put it together? So those are definitely in the works and discussion. You know, we'd love to start doing them, in person again. But we'll see how the restrictions shape out. We've got a big brand new facility over here in Draper, an education facility that we'd love to be bringing people in. But we'll play that out, and as soon as we're able to do those things, we will. But yeah, online is definitely something that we're looking at. A lot of it depends on just how many people do we have, how many people currently want the information. We can get a group of people together and have that discussion. Or one of the things that I do with individuals, if we don't have the group things, is I have people get in touch with me. We have a discussion, and then I put them in touch with our placement team, our placement support, and they go through more Q&A to get everybody comfortable with the process. We try to make it as easy and simple as possible, regardless of which way we do it.
And what about the can anybody, like empty nesters, you know, seniors, can they still get involved? And what's the age limit that you start at?
You know? The minimum age is minimum is 21. Definitely empty nesters. We've had lots of families, empty nesters, do that because their kids have moved out. They've got the space now. It's a great way for empty nesters to give back that way. They want to continue to support kids and adults and help them develop, and they have the space. And so, yeah, empty nesters are very common. Yeah. Retirees,
and do you
sure.
get do you get paid to do this, or is there like fee to help out? You know what I mean? Because you can feed them and clothe them.
Yep, and that's a good question. And yes, it is a paid position. Mm-hmm. The pay depends on, so it's considered a day rate, and it there's a lot of factors that go into the pay. There's kind of a base rate, but then a lot of that pay will depend on, you know, is there one or more, multiple children? Do we have siblings in the house? What's the nature mm-hmm. of their medical issues? They have really intensive medical issues. And there's a lot of variance there. So that's kind of the general answer to yes, it is paid. And if people want to learn more, then, yeah, absolutely reach out to us.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. And it says daily pay. But what about their medication and things like that? Is that taken care of? Or do they have to pay it out of their pocket?
No, definitely not. So typically the clients will come to us with like Medicaid. They'll have their insurance in place when they come to us. And then so it's just up to us to follow the plan at that point. So no, and that's a good question. And I've had that question from people in the past. Well, what if I have to take the child to the doctor? If I how do I handle that? Well, it's handled when they get the placement through the state, mm-hmm. essentially.
And so they have an 800 number or something to contact with you, like an app or something that they can say, hey, I need some help. I'm taking Susie to the emergency room. She's having trouble breathing, you know, or she swallowed something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've got, we have a team typically around, again, depending on, and it's case by case, depending on what mm-hmm. the child needs and what the extent of that team is going to be. But yeah, they're fully supported. They've got people that they can call for issues, for questions, for concerns, for emergencies. That's one of the great things about RISE is we provide that kind of 24/7 support to our families.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's good to know. And so how many children do you place per month? It's like a roller coaster. It's up and down. Sometimes
it kind
of
is. Yeah.
Five, and sometimes it'd be 20, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, sometimes it goes in waves. You know, we get all of a sudden there's a bunch coming from the state, and then, you know, maybe not. It's really, it's just a fluctuating number. It's just, there isn't a set. We've got 20 this month, and that's what we do every month. It just doesn't work that way. A lot of it depends on the state, what's happening there. It's hard to pin that down.
Wow. And Sean, give me a phone number or something that they can contact you, please.
Absolutely. So, the best way to get in touch with me, for questions, is just to call my desk directly. I mean, I've got a direct number, and that number is 801-676-8926. Mm-hmm. You can also get me via my email. My email address is a little tricky, so it's SCHONN, and that's S C as in Charlie, H as in Hotel, O N, and then another N for my last name. So SCHONN@RISEServicesInc.org. Mm-hmm. You can hit me up on my LinkedIn page. our Rise Facebook page. If you go to the Rise Facebook page, you'll want to specify the city where you're at, because we are regional. You know, we're in Idaho, Oregon, Texas, Arizona.
Okay.
So you know, you can say, hey, I'm in Salt Lake. This is what I need.
That's good. That's good to know. And tell me what, so can a single person do this as well? Or is it, do you have to be married or empty nesters?
You can be single. Again, it depends on the situation with the person.
I know you said 21, and can a 70-year-old help, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just depends on what they're ready for, and that's one of the great things about what we do is we don't place somebody, a child, to a person that isn't ready for a certain situation. So say you've got a 65-year-old retiree, they're not ready to handle a 15-year-old, you know, a teenager, then we're not going to go that direction. You know, so they'll come to us and say, hey, I just want to do respite care. I'm single. I want to fill in when I can. That's how I want to give back. That's great. We need that.
A question with respite care. What if a person, do they go to their home and take care of the child, or is it the child comes to their home? Do you know what I mean? If I'm doing that part-time, do I have to go to the parent's house who's taking care of the foster care?
No, typically they're going to come to the respite provider's home, you know, because they may not have access to the family, you know, the other family's home. You know, they may not know that family that they're stepping in for. So that's why we go through the same vetting process, make sure the home is squared away and up to our standards as far as providing. But that's typical.
Would that interfere with the child going to a different place? And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be here for a week. You know, do you think they'd be more comfortable in the foster care's home?
Yeah, again, just case by case. Travis, you may be able to add some more to this as well, but it's, we have to take it case by case. We have to look at, the scenario with the child and what the child can and cannot handle. It's hard to give a super specific answer because everything is so case by case with what we do and how we do it and what the situation with the child is, you know, and their, you know, background with trauma or behavioral issues that they can handle and what they can't handle. They may not be able to handle going to another home. That's possible, and that's something that we would have to work with the team.
Okay.
You know,
Sean, your title is Professional Parenting Recruiter. And
right.
Travis, yours is Program Administrator. Tell me a little bit about your position, Travis.
Yeah, so my role with RISE is I kind of behind the scenes just make sure things are running smoothly. I work closely with Sean, obviously. That's why we are jumping on this with you together. We'll look for ways where we can grow, where we can kind of better develop programs. RISE really prides itself on being innovative, and so that's really what we kind of strive to do and really are pushing, especially right now with, you know, there's a need here for families to open their homes. So
That's sweet. So is there anything that these children can go to, like any activities, events for the foster parents can take their children to keep them, you know, active? Social.
Yeah, right. We're actually, so July 1st, we're starting what we call our summer programs, where we provide all sorts of kind of fun activities during the day, each day of the summer. And that's something that it's kind of unique to Utah. I don't believe RISE has other states that provide a summer program, and so that's something that we sort of do that can help, one, have the parents get even more support, but also have something fun for the kids to be able to attend during the summer when they're not in school.
Right. And that'll be good for the those who do the part-time, that, you know, that help out when the, you know, the when the foster parent is on vacation or something.
Yep.
And then the children see them and they're excited to see them. And, you know, and if I was a foster parent full time and I went to an activity like that and they all came out, you know, if the child gets excited over a certain person, then I know, that's the one I should call on, because, you know, the foster parent is seeing, you know, the child go up to that, the other person. So, but anyway, but make the law, this is really an interesting topic. And so you guys have been around. So what, the foster care, RISE, has it been in Utah since 1987, or how long has it been around?
So
here
it was
in Utah?
So RISE as a company was founded here in Utah. So
all
the services provided was originated here in the state of Utah, and then just expanded into other states. So the original RISE was all started here in Utah, and it's grown to what it is. So, yeah, it's kind of a cool thing that we get to own.
I think that's exciting that the company RISE has really stepped forward to help the children so they don't go to the state. You know what I mean? These ones that are, have handicap issues or need a little TLC, and they just, you know, the original parents don't take care of them anymore, that, or something might have happened to them, that there's some place for them to go to. I think that's wonderful for RISE to do that and step in.
That's the goal is to get every child who comes into RISE. You know, our mission statement is creating opportunities for and with people, and that's what we do. We create opportunities for the kids that come in, you know, the opportunity for them to grow, to learn, to thrive, to have as good a life as possible. Sometimes that's, you know, working, like I mentioned earlier, working with the biological family. If not, then how do we give these kids support to get them through and get them on the road to a productive life and being, you know, productive members of society and just living a as normal life as possible. That's why we were founded. That's why we do what we do, and that's our mission statement.
I came to see you about a year ago to one of your open houses. Was this before, you know,
right,
the coronavirus? And I met a few of the parents who you know, are foster care. And they just see the glow in their face and that they're helping these children. And they're not as bad as everybody, you know, oh, I got to be up 24 hours. I got to be with this child. No. They do go to school. It's some of them,
you know,
it might be a special school, but at least they go someplace that gives them a little break. And there's all kinds of help to help them. And they enjoy it. They enjoy these children and older children, too, because there was some that I met that help out with those that are handicapped issues that are older and still need that TLC and need that socialism and stuff. And I think that's
absolutely
wonderful.
Again, that's the goal, is to give them that social support, to give them that social interaction, to have that kind of life. And that's really the biggest benefit, whether you're talking about, you know, foster care, long-term professional parenting. It's about, you know, helping them develop stability and giving them a life that maybe they wouldn't have had otherwise. That's why there's such a huge need. And that's why there's such a huge need across the state for, you know, for us, for other agencies. It's just we need people with good hearts, with good homes, that are willing to at least listen to us, listen to our information, hear what we have to say, get some questions answered, and to really learn that it's really not, as frightening as sometimes it is made out to be. You know, we have so much support in place. We have so many things in place to help our families succeed. You know, just come talk to us. Just learn about it. Just let me be that bridge to, mm-hmm. you know, concern and questions to, hey, this is going to be a great thing for us and our family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to help that parent be able to go back to their parents. So some of these children, do you help them, these foster children, the ones who actually have medical issues, do you help them get back with their parents?
Sometimes. It depends. It depends on the situation. Each case is different. Sometimes the goal is to reunite. And that's good. And that's ultimately, if we can help a family come together and not be a broken family, then that's what we're going to do. That's where the treatment foster care comes in. But sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes there's a legal situation, there's something going on there where they can't reunite, and then it can turn into more of a long-term situation, potential adoption, things like that.
Mm-hmm. If as a foster parent, can you take these children on vacation or to a family reunion?
And again, that depends on what the situation is with the child, what their support plan is. But when I gave that story about the family earlier, I saw a great picture of them with the child at the beach, and they were having a great time. They were loving life, and the kid was having a blast. And so, yes, they can. Again, some of it's going to depend on what they can handle. Yeah.
Mhm. Amazing. So when I say, for example, if I want to adopt, and so me and my husband get checked out, even though I'm probably the one doing all the work, but because he works all the time at the mom. Say that I had a teenager in my home, 15, does he still have to get to do a background check on the 15-year-old? Or anything like that? How's that work?
So if there's another person in the house?
Yeah, but he's 15 or 14. Do they still have to have a background check or?
I think it's 18. Travis, correct me if I'm wrong on that. I think that starts at, if you've got
an 18 year old.
The age of 18. Yeah, so if they're 18 and they're considered an adult and they have to go through that. If you've got a 14-year-old, they're just considered another child in the home. There's other situations they have to deal with.
Yeah, that's correct.
15-year-old. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. And even if the 18-year-old just graduated from high school, you still have to do the background check on him, even though he has nothing on him.
Anybody that's considered an adult and is in the house with the family has to be background checked. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Then that's good to know.
Again, it's all about the safety of the child. You know, we want to provide a safe home and a safe environment for the child or the adult, even in some cases.
Okay. Well, I'm getting waved down. Is there any? Oh, Travis, do you want to give out any information, phone number for anyone to get a hold of you?
No, I think if Sean wants to give his number one more time, he's the
Let's do that one more time.
Okay. So again, call me directly. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have. It's 801-676-8926.
Okay, I just got waved down. I only have 2 seconds. But anyway, thank you so much, Rise Services, for coming on my show. And for any of you looking into adoption, please give Sean or Travis a call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy, for coming on my show. We appreciate you having us. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay, Travis, and welcome aboard. You're working for a good company.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you. And thank you for BBS Radio and Primetime Media.
Having a brighter, whiter smile is important to you, even during the coronavirus crisis. Teeth whitening can be safe and convenient, because at Pearly Whites, we come to you. Our technicians take all the recommended safety precautions, and you don't have to leave your home. Get all your family treated in one afternoon. It's safe and convenient and less expensive than a visit to the dentist. Pearly Whites Mobile Teeth Whitening. Visit pearlywhitesfl.com to book an appointment today.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
I'm Sean Nielsen, professional parent recruiter with Rise Services Utah, and we have a unique opportunity to open your heart to children and adults with developmental challenges by becoming a respite foster care provider. Respite care providers are part-time and fill in where our full-time parents need time away from the child in their care. It's a great way to help those in need without committing to a full-time position. If you'd like more information about this wonderful opportunity, please contact me today at 801-676-8926.
Sarah Yoga and Wellness offers online, live and interactive yoga classes and yoga teacher training certification programs. Sarah has over 20 years of experience and can help you make your spirit, mind, and body a priority in your life. Try a class from the comfort of your own home for just $5. Learn more at sarahyogaandwellness.com or call 801-390-2108.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
Hey, this is Rocktop Construction. Rocktop is a family-owned business based out of Utah. We specialize in replacing worn or storm-damaged roofs and understand how to assist homeowners with property claims. For reliable service and the best value on a quality and energy-efficient roof, call Rocktop Construction at 801-567-1234. We have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Again, that's 801-567-1234 to find out more about how we can protect your home.
This is Chris Jackson, here to protect your lifestyle, legacy, and loved ones, free of charge. Whether you're on a budget, nearing retirement, or a business owner, I have your back to make your financial dreams a reality. Call me today at 435-760-3955 to set up a free consultation to learn more. I am Chris Jackson, your financial advocate and wealth educator. Again, call me at 435-760-3955.